It's May 18th, 2018. It's about 7:52 in the morning, so a little bit before 8. So where I want to start this morning is I was looking at a set of notes, and in that set of notes it made a reference to execution layers or shells. And of course, in the structure of my material, this refers to the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. And it went on after the note about execution layers or shells, it went on to talk about parasitic. I remember this was actually, I think it's from an episode of Star Trek. It talked about a parasite. The parasite is gone, but the empty shell remains. And I put that down as ghosting or latency. So it's kind of like being kind of like stuck in, I guess, being kind of haunted by our past self. And that led me back to, I remember a previous set of notes that was the concept of, well, I guess it kind of approached, kind of like in a, you know, like the way a crab moves from side to side as it advances. I can't remember what that's called, but I had a set of notes that talked about considering a crustacean like a crab. Once it reaches a certain stage of growth, it can't develop or grow physically any larger until it sloughs off and backs out of its shell and forms a new larger shell that provides room for further growth. And so what I stated was that in an intellectual, emotional, and spiritual sense, the same is true of human beings. The difference being that in our case, the shell can be referred to in many different ways. Our paradigms, belief systems, mental maps, I think that's how Dr. Scott Peck would refer to it. He talks about mental maps. But the point is that once you reach a certain point of development, that you may not be able to grow past that point within your current frame of reference, within your current structure. You need room for growth. You need room to expand your consciousness. So this can refer to that some notion or idea about the world or your role in it may need to be surrendered or abandoned to make room for your personal growth and development. And unless we are willing to make room for this growth and development by releasing this old frame, this old shell, we stagnate. We revolve around, our lives revolve around the same references, and we project the same recurring patterns. Now, when I make reference to the same references, I am talking about the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. And of course, this directly relates to, and this is again, this is the drawing the connections between these points, these references. You know, this is about the choice of first magnitude, about the principles and priorities that we choose as the most prominent priorities, principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. I went on to say that in a folksy way, referring to this inclination of resistance to growth and a steadfast stubbornness of adhering to our current frame of reference is to say that someone is set in their ways. And I remember I had read at one point, there was a saying that an ego is a point of view attempting to survive. So I went on to say that if someone's inclined to resist this invitation of further growth and development, it's easily resisted. Any influence, any external influence is easily resisted. I went on to say that as you know, there's this concept I had in my earlier notes about continuous successive application of the necessary stimulus. This is what life's adventures and misadventures ply us. So as I talk about these cycles of self-discovery, of self-exploration, self-discovery, and self-actualization. And as these cycles come complete, coming full circle, that affords us the opportunity to grow and realize our latent potentialities. And that was part of what struck me and caused me to start searching through my notes, because I remembered a concept of an individual, and I think this has to do with, could have to do with the basic definition of being, of having initiative or being an initiate. They have an inherent predisposed disposition for yielding to a manifest source of latent potential. In other words, that comes down to that value and gap analysis. They become aware of the gap. Well, they become aware, yeah, that's what it is. They become aware of the gap. They see that there is this difference, and it can only be a difference in value. I don't remember. I think that's G. Spencer Brown. He talks about draw a distinction, and that distinction has to be based on, let's say, on a difference in value, or better said, because we have to take in and account for personal judgments, personal perspectives. It has to be at least a perceived difference in value. They recognize that gap. So, in this case, one of the things I remember speaking to was during these cycles, sometimes you can feel like you're abandoning, well, it's more, you can almost feel like you're betraying your past self. I don't know how you're. Younger, less aware self. The growth that we experience can stir feelings of disloyalty to and abandonment of who we were. And there's outside pressures. Others who have observed or experienced the change in our character and our behaviors may accuse us of trying to be someone we are not. A false personage, an imposter, and this can be unsettling. Now, of course, all this goes back to the essence of being is becoming. We have to allow ourselves room for this personal growth, and we need to do that the same for others, but in return, we need to require of others that they do the same for us, that they allow us room for personal growth. So, going back to the, so there was a concept in all of this, and it's going back to the analogy of a crustacean like a crab, where a crab sloughs off its shell to make room. I mean, basically, it's a hard exoskeletal shell, meaning that is its kind of skeleton. And reaches the limits of that shell, and it can't grow any further, so it has to discard the shell. But then I talked about the conservation of the essence of our being, and I think this is something that's important to consider in the essence of being as becoming. And you know, what is the connection between who we were and how we, you know, and the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. And I think this comes back to the initiate, you know, that predisposed disposition for yielding to a manifest source of latent potential. And this potential exists within us, each and every one of us. So, as we slough off our old shell, our old frame of reference, and we allow room for our personal growth, there's that conservation of the essence of ourself. And the way that I think it was very well expressed was in this analogy that I had read, and I don't even remember the source now, but I do have it in quotes in my notes. I have it in quotes italicized, so I know it's from a different author. But what it says is this, that the discarded shell has as its vocation, as it were, to be destroyed or discarded in its primary form in order to conserve the realization of something else so near of kin that it may be properly regarded as its own true self and the resulting existence to which it gives rise and into whose actuality its own essence enters and is there conserved. And then I have a note afterwards that this is emergence. So it's giving or surrendering something of ourself in order to manifest something that is a potential that exists within us that is truer to our essence. So it's like replacing or discarding or sloughing off. Boy, you know, it goes back to quitting a role. It's when we realize that gap and the value of allowing this part of ourselves to emerge and to grow and in essence to cultivate it. It's kind of like we were living a role previously, but there was a better, it's kind of like, I was going to say, it's kind of like an article of clothing. It got too tight. This is a better fit. We have to allow ourselves to slough off or quit that old role in order to take on this new role, to remove the old garment. That's the part that, you know, of our behaviors that people see, so that we quit the old role in order to take on this new role. That's a better fit for us, the essence of who we truly are. Well, that's a rough way, bumpy way of saying it, but in essence, that's what I'm saying. So, anyway, in the end, and I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording after this, but in the end, part of what I was thinking about this morning and realizing was, at this point, I really have to focus on this. All this time I've been setting myself up for these times, I can't allow myself to be distracted at this point. You know, I have commitments that I've made to others, and therefore I have these roles that I have to serve. So I need to take time out for that, and I want to take time out for that. But in the end, I have to make sure that I come back to this pinpoint laser focus to get this done, to make progress in the time that I have left, to share what I've become aware of. And it kind of goes back to what I was thinking about Mr. Kanoff, about how He stood back after we finished that red brick porch and told me to remember that I helped build it. I was kind of, you know, I guess it speaks somewhat to legacy, but it made me think of the playground for the children. It's kind of like, you know, something's begun because you see this area that's been cleared. You know, I kind of look at that as, you know, sort of the unclaimed inheritance that that consciousness has begun to build, but it's a work in progress. It's it hasn't been brought to fruition. It's incomplete, and so because there's always more potential and possibility, can it ever be truly complete? No, it's always going to be a work in progress. But the unclaimed inheritance, that playground for the children, there's a whole lot of work to be done. Now there's a big gap. We live in the gap. I'd love to see us close that gap some. And it just comes down to realizing that in this chain of custody, here I am. This is my chance to contribute. But that chance, that window of opportunity, so to speak, is slowly, slowly closing. Not only to do it in my lifetime, but to leave a legacy of waypoints, of channel markers to help others find their way to be able to present, make a present to the world, to present command performances and enjoy peak experiences. It's guidance. It's a mentorship. It's like scripture says that teachers will be held to a higher standard. I just have to make sure that I'm on target and that I, whatever time I can eke out of my other obligations, I spend in devotion to this material, to sharing. I guess that's enough for now. Signing off.